This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Away. We've talked about this before, but Away makes first-class luggage at coach prices. That's what they want you to know. And they allow you to charge your phone. So the bag actually has these awesome charging ports within the top of it. It's really great. I use mine all the time, and I have a story to tell, actually, at the second ad spot. So it's going to be coming up in like 15 minutes. But guys, this one, you're going to want to stick around and hear this story, because Will was there.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for you to tell it, because I was witnessing you traveling with this bag, and I have to say it is a top-notch travel item. I was a little envious.
Yeah.
Gotta get me one.
Well, you're not going to be envious of the story, but I was very glad to have...
Envious of the bag.
Yeah, very glad to have that bag. And I just can't wait to tell you a story. All right, so what you need to do, if you want to get one of these great, and again, the USB charging alone is just an awesome feature, but if you want to get one of these great bags, go to awaytravel.com/WDW, use the promo code WDW20, and you will get $20 off your order. Again, that is WDW20 at awaytravel.com/WDW. Get one of their bags. I personally recommend, I have the carry-on.
Right.
I have it in black. It's awesome. I kind of like the green, though. Thinking about ordering a green. We'll see. Again, awaytravel.com/WDW. Use that promo code WDW20 and so they know you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 15th, and this is episode 1555 of WDW Today.
1555.
Yep. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
First off, I want to say thank you to everyone that supported us on Patreon. A lot of you guys have chimed in and have subscribed. And with that, you've gotten some kind of fun content. Me playing ukulele, a lot of weird stuff, and a brand new show each and every week. And actually, just before we recorded this, we were live on our Facebook group, our private Facebook group, doing a whole show for those guys.
And the only way you can see that is to be a part of that secret Patreon group.
Yeah, it's not that hard to find, but I'm not going to let you in unless you're a subscriber.
Right,
however,
you're not allowed to see the content.
You can't see the content. And with that, because some people are asking that, well, how can I get it? Again, it's just patreon.com, patreon.com/WDW Today, or just find it on our website on WDWtoday.com or on Twitter or however we post it everywhere. And it really helps us, helps support the company and helps support the show, make sure we can keep doing it. And we want to create more content for you guys continually. And we really appreciate everyone who's already done it. And we hope to meet and talk to a lot more of you guys in the coming weeks. So we appreciate it. But we left it a bit of a cliffhanger last week as Terry was talking about Rivers of Light. He moved into talking about some of his other stuff. We said, let's save that.
I got shut down.
For yet another Terry Trip Report. That's what we're going to call this episode.
Actually, we should just change the show to that.
To WDW Today featuring Terry Trip Report.
Because that's most weeks.
Yeah, we should need new music, everything. All right, so we left off, I think you were at Geyser Point.
Yeah.
Let's set the scene for where we are in the universe of Walt Disney World. What is Geyser Point? And then talk about some of the other stuff that happened on the trip.
The official title of it.
While you do that, it's in Wilderness Lodge. It's a new quick service that looks awesome. Like you sit on a big open air balcony type thing, right?
You're correct. It's Geyser Point, yeah. Bar and Grill.
Yeah. And what meal did you eat there?
So, I was actually a little confusing. So you go to the Wilderness Lodge, and it's right on Bay Lake, which...
So you walk out.
You know, and Bay Lake is the lake that is connected to the Seven Seas Lagoon. It was the actual lake that was there when they built on Disney property. When, you know, Fort Wilderness is there, the back of the Contemporary backs up to it, the back of Wilderness Lodge backs up to it. So if you've ever taken a boat from the Magic Kingdom to the Wilderness Lodge, it's literally right when you get off the boat ramp, and it is a really cool open bar that has all four sides open. Kind of, they have like a garage door situation. So you
walk.
Well,
heard open bar and just flinched.
Open bar. Yeah. I'm in.
Brought to you probably in part by thepodcast.com.
That's not the website.
That's not the website.
Yeah, don't
whiskey podcast. Whiskeypodcast.com. But you know who's
okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And so it's a new phrase. Disney started to use this phrase lately. Instead of quick service, the newer ones, they're using this phrase fast casual.
Right.
So I guess they're trying to realize. Because traditionally in the theme park world, quick service for years
and pizza
has meant, you know, yeah.
Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. And so, which, you know, if you've had the old chicken fingers at Disney, everyone has, but it's not first-class theme park food. And no. So, not in a quick service at all. And so, you walk up, and there's really kind of two things happening. There's a bar, and the bar has a menu that you can order from the bar with drinks, obviously, and then a small bar menu. And then there's like a typical counter like you'd see. And if you just go and sit down at Geyser Point, you can order off either the bar menu or the counter menu, and a server will bring it to you. Or you can go to the window, and they give you like a pager and they and a number, and they bring it to you. So we saw the window first. We walked up, and we got the food is really – I was incredibly impressed.
Yeah. What meal did you go for?
We decided to split two things, which my wife and I
– No, I meant like breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Dinner.
Okay.
We had a 9 o'clock flight out of Orlando returning home, and so we just went on the way to the airport.
Gotcha.
And it was kind of – you know, I think we had like – I guess it would have been dinner. It would have been 5 o'clock or so. And we had just come from the Braves game over at ESPN Run World of Sports, and knew that it'd be too late to eat when we got home, so we wanted to grab some food. And I wanted to check it out and see what it was like. The setting is absolutely gorgeous. The view, you get the panoramic views of Bay Lake. In fact, you're sitting there and you're like, you're kind of going in your head, am I at like someone's lake house now? Because it really
yeah,
has
looks like that. Yeah.
It's really, there's no like berm kind of blocking you. It's just straight. You don't even like see the new like rope fencing, like, because that's kind of dipped down. But it's a great, beautiful view. We walked up and we ordered the BLT salmon sandwich, which was absolutely amazing. And then they have a bison burger that has like Tillamook cheddar from, which is famous in the Northwest.
Cool.
So they definitely have gone with the whole fact that it's a Northwestern lodge. The food was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was definitely in a class above. It's the kind of place that like on a nice, even like on a warmer summer day, sit there, have some drinks, hang out, enjoy, you know, kind of the experience of just being there. You're on the lake, so you get a nice breeze.
Yeah.
Which they, you know, they give these little table tents to like put your number. The breeze in them, like they're blowing all over the place, so they're going to have to figure that one out. They probably changed it already by now.
Yeah. But I saw one of my buddies, obviously the Tim Tracker, who you guys know on YouTube, he went there for breakfast and he posted a video. He was texting me while he was there, but I also posted a video. I encourage you guys to go watch that. Of them, because the breakfast looked awesome too. Like, yeah. You know, really hot, like poached eggs and eggs Benedict and like not at all, like you said, not counter service.
Right.
And we're using that fast casual. And you also said earlier during our Patreon thing that that's coming to Avatar.
Yeah, that more
that's
of that
the words of, they're using.
They're using those words. Probably the best French fry I've had at a Disney quick service restaurant too, because it's a.
And you only had one of them.
Well, I think you got six or seven. They're waffle fries.
Oh.
But they had a nice little like batter kind of thing going on them. I would even put them above the Chick-fil-A waffle fry. They were
it's fighting words.
Yeah, blasphemy over here.
Yeah, I mean they were solid. They were.
You know what I'm having for dinner now?
Yep, Chick-fil-A. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would say, we talk about the afternoon break. If you're at Magic Kingdom and you want, you know, we all know Magic Kingdom is a dry park. We had a friend at Disneyland last week who was trying to figure out
freaking out
over that. And it's a great chance.
No, Magic Kingdom now has some drinks at the sit down restaurant.
But if you want a cocktail and you want kind of a break from it, hop on the boat at the Magic Kingdom, leave the park for a few hours, go have a nice lunch. It really does. It sort of felt like you were going to. I remember growing up, we'd like go to the lake for a day or go to the park. You know, we went to Bull Run Park on the
lake
river.
Restaurant.
Yeah, just you sat there and it added another layer of like. Relaxation that you don't always you know, a lot of people you'll talk about their Disney vacation and they're just like, oh man,
right.
I need another vacation for my Disney vacation. And I appreciate the things that Disney has added lately that really do give you some places just to kind of hang and chill. And I could definitely see a place that Will Haynes would be hanging out, having maybe some bourbon, enjoying the views of the lake.
Well, sounds right up my alley.
I like that it looks different than. It's another version of like having a bar that's cool, like a Trader Sam's, but it's the exact opposite on the end of the crazy spectrum.
Right.
Actually seems like a place other than you're going for entertainment, you're going for like a beach restaurant or a lodge restaurant, just something that's casual, relaxed, and good food. And I like that they've added that, like you said, that it's just sort of a cool place to be calm. Is it far enough separated from the resort to feel that way? Is it still like you just hear kids screaming and loud and proud?
No, it's the pool. You're at a safe distance from the pool, so it sits kind of in between where the DVC, the old DVC area was, at kind of the end of the peninsula of the main building. So it's a little away from the pool, but yet, I mean, you know, you're probably 100 yards from the pool, so you can still hear. But the lake, we sat facing away from that intentionally and looking at the lake, and if your back's to it, I don't even think you notice it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, so Geyser Point. What else did you hit? How long did we go there, Will?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. What else did you do? Because obviously we talked already Animal Kingdom. You were there for a couple days.
Yeah.
So what's like another highlight that you did on your trip?
But the Braves game, always spring training, is always something that I think is one of the funnest things you can do. You know, if you're a Florida resident, obviously spring training is a normal thing to you. But the rest of us have to wait another month before baseball gets started. Yeah. And it's just super low-key. A lot of times the players are just hanging out there. A lot of you'll see their families. It's a very family-friendly kind of just hang.
Yeah.
Even the things that Disney has there is it's pretty just chill.
I haven't been to Wide World of Sports in many years.
So. They actually had a beverage featured from the St. Augustine distillery cool. There. They had like a Long Island iced tea from them, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, having some local love for the distilled spirits.
And they've been doing that more. They've been doing more craft stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of craft beer available. And it was very much like, wow, this is like a real ballpark with like upscale things. And
that's cool.
It felt, I mean, we had $30 tickets and we were behind home plate.
Yeah.
So
yeah, which is kind of different than going to a
$200,
right? Yeah,
right. No, we were on the top row of the upper deck, but which, you know, in a regular Braves game, those would have been $70, $80 tickets every
absolutely.
Bit of it. And so yeah, I mean, even if you don't know the teams that are playing, it's just I think it would be a great, you know, there's rumors that they may be moving, the Braves may be moving. Yeah. I don't know if that'll happen or not.
So what else? What else other than that? Did we talk about that already? Or was that
we
the
talked
Patreon?
About it on the Patreon show.
So you guys would have heard about that earlier. All right, let's continue this discussion right after a quick break. You have enough of me. Give me some time, I'll get by. Before that, I teased it earlier. I want to tell you about my story with my away travel bag. This amazing, lightweight, and that's very important here, lightweight piece of amazingness that I was able to carry through the airport on a very unlikely situation. So, not unlikely, unfortunate situation.
Yeah, with us traveling, it's more than likely.
So, Will, why don't you set it up, and then I'll take it from there.
So, we got to the airport early, actually a little bit extra time so that we could go have a nice breakfast before getting on the plane. And so we went, had a little nosh at Noshville, and then afterwards just went to our gate. We had plenty of time. We were in the A boarding group. It was so fantastic.
We got there 5 minutes before boarding.
Right. And so we walked up and we're sitting there, and then you hear the thing you never want to hear over the airport PA system. He goes, William Haynes, if you could return to the Nashville restaurant in Concourse B, which we're in Concourse C, so it's all the way on the other side of the airport, you have left your cell phone. I'm like, well, I'm holding my cell phone.
Which means I left my cell phone.
So I look at Logan.
So I panic for a moment, realize we're about to board. This is probably, a quarter of a mile away?
Every bit of a quarter mile.
Yeah.
So, and I can't give Will my bag because he has his own. So I grab my away travel bag, and this is where I'm thankful. You know, it says that it's a lightweight bag and it is ultra durable. I can attest to that.
Yes.
And say I picked it up. Like, I didn't even roll it. I rolled it for a few seconds. I realized I got to go. I picked it up. It was full. It was my only bag.
Did you
carrying.
Hug it? Like, I need a mental visual.
Yes,
on this.
He was like bear hugging.
I bear hugged it for part of it, and then sometimes like holding it over my head, and ran all the way back, got my phone, again a good quarter mile away, and ran all the way back. And I made it. I didn't make immediate boarding, but I was able to still get in the A boarding group.
You were,
and Will
which was very impressive.
So that's how lightweight this thing is.
And
look,
and it was
I'm
a
not
full
a,
flight, so
full
it's a
flight.
Good thing
it was
you
my only bag. It had my computer in it and everything, so it wasn't like it had nothing in it. Pairs of shoes, and it was still that didn't add any really extra bulk. If you feel these bags, they're shockingly lightweight that you maybe don't feel like they're as durable as they are, but they are. I got in, my bag fit perfectly, and I was able to use the USB ports. Again, guys, it comes with a couple USB ports to charge your phone and to charge your tablets, whatever you have, during your flight or, you know, while you're waiting there. And it was great. It also has the it's the four-wheeler, smooth ride. Uh-huh. So you can like spin it and twirl it and go down the aisle. So that really helped during the times when my – well, I think the funny part is like my legs gave out before my arms did from running. But get this. It's a risk-free 100-day trial period. You're going to be stuck in a situation like this. You know it. If you're traveling, it's going to happen. You get a risk-free 100-day trial period. Go to awaytravel.com. You should get the – I have – they start at just $225. And again, you get $20 off if you use our promo code WDW20. That's 20. Because they are direct to you, they cut out the middleman, they're able to offer you really good prices. And it comes with a lifetime warranty. So if anything breaks, they will fix or replace it. And look, I ran through the airport and back, so I don't think you're going to have a problem with that. This thing doesn't feel like something's going to break. But if it does, you're covered. And obviously, it comes in lots of different colors. Like I said, I got black, but it comes in green. I really like their green.
There's a nice blue color, yeah, too. I'm a blue
Four
fan.
Different sizes, and they have those two USB ports. And man, it's they're awesome. I love these guys, and I love their business. You get free shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. to friends in Hawaii. You got to pay a little bit, but it's okay. It's worth it. Go to awaytravel.com/WDW. Use that promo code WDW20 and tell them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. You have enough of me. Give me some time. I'll get by. All right, what else did you do? Flower and Garden?
Yeah, we did some walked around Flower and Garden. We were there opening day. Saw a lot of the, Epcot's kind of changed their thing with the new festival. It was food and wine. It was the only time you could get food and wine.
Right.
Now it's just not. It's
a lot of Figment. I saw Figment's kind of all over all the
Figment
branding,
is
which
the
I like.
Main thing. He's on all the merch.
Can you meet Figment?
No.
Why not? You have him out there.
I feel like the last two festivals have been Figment heavy. So I think one of two things is about to happen.
Yeah.
Either Figment is coming back in a major way, or like
he's reserved for festivals.
Or it's like the blowout sale at Best Buy. You know, like it's that table that has like they're just blowing out. Because for the Festival of the Arts,
it was also Figment.
He was also Figment. I mean, like you can get the lawn ornaments or whatever, the little gnomes, or like there's a Figment gnome, there's a Figment rock. So all the merch is very Figment. You know, Figment has that main topiary spot behind Spaceship Earth, which is normally like,
right.
I figured, honestly, I was expecting that to be Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
With a new movie.
Yeah,
coming.
It usually is like a branded thing.
the only thing with the Flower and Garden topiaries that was a real like letdown was the one that's at the very beginning of World Showcase was just kind of like, eh, it wasn't even a thing. And that's normally like one of the main things. Yeah. And so.
And what other, anything that return cars are back or no?
Yes, there's a car section.
I love that car section.
And they have the new character.
Oh, cool.
From the whatever the new character is from Cars 3. Yeah. Cars 3. And that section's over there on the side with Test Track.
Right.
And the butterflies, of course, are back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like food and wine with flowers.
You see any concerts? Was there any good playing it? Not, what do they call it? It's not Eat to the Beat. Flower.
It was like John Cicada the day we were there. And I couldn't.
Couldn't sit through that?
I couldn't sit through that.
Logan and I were trying to make it out of the Orlando City match in time to go see Olivia Newton-John, but we didn't make
that
it.
That was Universal at Disney.
That was Mardi Gras.
No, it was at Disney. It was Dennis DeYoung of Styx.
That's right.
Who last time I saw was playing at SeaWorld, so clearly that's his circuit.
The theme park circuit is where he makes the rounds.
He's still pretty darn good for a 70-year-old.
You know.
Anything other special? I mean, Flower and Garden is just Epcot with some stuff.
Yeah, but, and I feel like it's definitely like ramped up. We went to the...
Did you get to walk around the Windows of Life and pretend?
Oh, yeah. That's what I told Leslie. We were in that kind of area in the back where they always have some like exhibit.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the neat things I think they do during Flower and Garden is if you're into like the Flower and Garden, like how the magic is made. And if you know Disney, you know, their landscaping is very much a part of the story. You know, they have the thing where they're pulling the trees up and taking them out when they get the wrong size and they're... You know, there's never dead flowers on property. So you get to kind of see a little bit of how the magic is made. They have a great, like, the story of how they've started doing the topiaries and how they make them in the process. And that's literally right in, like, the Body Wars.
Yeah, you get to go in that area, which is pretty – if you're an Epcot also fan who maybe either remembers that or doesn't have the opportunity to visit – or was that the opportunity to visit it when it was open because it's been closed a number of years now. I know we have some younger listeners who maybe didn't get to go. You do can kind of – because it looks very similar.
Right.
It's still very 90s colors, early 90s colors, and but it does have, obviously, it's not like the stationary bikes are there and the stuff is still there, but you can kind of imagine where everything was.
I will say this is the first time that I've been in it and went, oh, it's time.
It's time what?
Like, it's just, the building is in rough shape.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not using
it. It's not used like 8 months out of the year. So
yeah. I mean, when they first started doing the festival center there, which was probably like, what, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe?
Even the exterior looks rough. I mean, it doesn't look good.
It was
an abandoned thing, pretty much.
It definitely feels like you're in, like, you know, the warehouse kind of off the beaten path. But yeah, I mean, so Flower and Garden, I think, is a great, it's great that they do that. It's a great opportunity to go over to see some, you know, for the kids. A lot of times you say Epcot's not as kid-friendly because there's all the flowers of the characters and you can take the pictures and the—
Right. My son got excited for the car section. And typically Epcot, he can kind of hit or miss. He likes it more now that they have Frozen and a few other attractions.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was excited about that last year. I'd like to take him back this year. And
for mom and dad, there's
flowers.
there's food and wine. You know what? I feel like it's the one festival that's the most like family-friendly of the Epcot festivals, because you have the option if you want to do the drinking around the world. There's that option because of all the booths. If grandma wants to come along and wants to just look at all the flower stuff,
yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely great.
It seems to. I didn't know the arts ones. I don't know, but it seems to be the most chill of all of them.
Yeah,
like where it's not this rush of crowd every day, and the music is aimed at an older audience typically.
Right.
So you have that, of course, to now food and wine definitely aimed at, you know, 90s kids, 80s and 90s, where this is aimed more at 60s and 70s still. So, you know, you can sometimes catch your Mickey Dolans, those kind of acts that'll be performing, which is a lot of fun, but it definitely brings in a different group that's not as hardcore party group. So you don't have to worry about that as much at Epcot.
For sure.
All right. Anything else you hit up? Any last minute things?
I'm trying to think if there was anything, nothing new that I hadn't seen before. We got to stay in a one bedroom at Kidani for one night, and we stayed in Bay Lake. In the studio, so I got to check out the. It was the first time I checked into Bay Lake that you actually got to check in at Bay Lake. Yeah, you used to check in next
still
door.
A bit of a process, but it was all right when we had it.
Well, you know, interestingly, I'd never had to see them.
Yeah.
Because of the band,
I just went straight through.
Yeah, and that's
we had some issues with Will getting his ticket, so it was
a whole thing.
It's
a whole thing.
I feel like if you can skip the front desk, do it, because if not, you're going to be there an hour.
Yes,
at any Disney resort. And not an hour, so exaggerating, but 20 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, if you're staying on Disney property, set up your Magic Bands. When you set up your FastPass Plus, make sure all your tickets are tied to it.
Yeah. That'll save you a ton of time.
Do everything before. If you're not doing it before, you're not getting the setup. You're not getting the great FastPasses.
Right.
And do the online check-in, put the credit card, make sure everyone's pins are set up for their Magic Bands. Because there's nothing like walking up. I mean, literally,
Did you get a Magic Band too? The big.
Yes.
We have the new. Is it cool?
Let's talk about the Magic Bands too.
Okay.
I was totally prepared to not like them.
Yeah.
Because in the imagery, they look massive.
Yes.
They're not. They're slightly bigger and they're way more flexible. Because the old ones, like for me, the entire top of my wrist, it felt like that thing wasn't moving anywhere.
Yeah.
It was super flexible. I didn't buy any of the accessories. I kind of wanted the keychain because that kind of seems like always have your Magic Band with you just in case.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I liked the Magic Band, too. So did Leslie. She thought it was a lot less.
So is it like the size of a quarter? Like just the insert part is like the size of a quarter? Is it the size of like a cookie?
It's the size of a top of a carrot.
Very specific.
Wait, like a baby carrot?
Yeah,
or like
a lot
a regular
of carrots.
Carrot?
A regular carrot.
I'd rather use a different thing.
Something that doesn't come in a variety of sizes.
Uh-huh.
Coke can bottle. a Coke top.
You know, like old school top of a Coke. You know, pry off or top
gotcha.
Of the beard.
Okay, so not that big.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was a...
Okay, the picture, it looks like this.
It's like a bottle cap.
It looks like those giant Nixon watches that take up like, you know, like a kid, like an old school 80s hip-hop.
Okay, you're saying like 30 different comparisons. See, when you first said, no, not a quarter, like a carrot, I'm like, well, a carrot's about the size of a quarter.
Well,
but apparently you've got like Mondo carrots because you said a Nixon watch, which is giant.
I said it's not the size
okay,
of a Nixon
It's the size of a bottle top.
Yeah. It's not huge. Nothing about it felt... Over the top. I saw the kids wearing them and they didn't seem, they do look bigger than the other ones because you could see
but
the company.
But it just didn't feel invasive.
It didn't feel invasive because it doesn't feel as sturdy as the old ones, and it's supposedly more sturdy.
Awesome.
But, you know, when you.
I never had a problem with the sturdiness of the old ones, but they were
very rigid.
They weren't that comfortable.
Yes, this is a lot more comfortable.
Cool.
And they're able to do a lot more of the features, you know, like the special light ups or the special chimes, and they're starting to add more of that.
Cool. What color did you get?
I always get the gray.
Just the old standard. I don't like the gray. All right.
Logan's a purple man.
I am a purple man. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with listener questions. With Lynn.
It's time for listeners. listener questions with Lynn.
All right, once again, it's been a while. I haven't talked to Lynn myself in 3 or 4 months.
In many a moon.
Because of the fact the last time I wasn't around. So that kind of ruined the magic. Someone said, well, then we realized that it's not done like on the same. No, it's not done on the same day. I'm sorry, folks. It's done the same day. Like when you're hearing this, we recorded a show. Right. Yeah. Or maybe we're recording
in
a
reality,
show.
We did record.
Yes, but the magic is it is separated. Someone's like, why do you go to a break? Because we don't have Lynn just silent for 30 minutes while we talk.
And if we did, Lynn, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not. That's really wasting your time. You need to be strategizing and statisticizing.
Statisticizing.
Yeah, that's one of those days.
We need a list of like all the words you come up with today, like a running list.
I told you, people say I speak. They're like, you have an interesting way of speaking. That's what, something I always get a comment about that. All right.
That's a very nice way of saying it. It's like my saying of thank you for the input. Uh-huh. I mean, shut up.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, you can just respond to that to any of these comments that come in. I sorted out the ones where like, you were wrong. It said it was going to be a 3 and it was a 4. So we're not going to.
It's actually an interesting thing. We've been, especially for Disneyland, we've been looking at.
Yeah, that's what one person said, actually.
Yeah. So we put hundreds of – we track hundreds of factors in the crowd calendar. But there are a couple of things this year in Disneyland that we've never seen before. One of them is that new pass that they put on sale back at the end of – back in February.
Yeah.
And it was – yeah, it was – I think it was like a 3 or – it's a cheap multi-day ticket. They've never done that before, at least not since we've been tracking that. And I think that has proven to be much more popular than either we or Disney expected. And the other thing is the torrential rains that happened in California just played havoc with everybody's schedule around President's Day. So we're looking at those two things. We did actually just roll out a crowd calendar update in the last 2 days.
Okay.
Based on that. So hopefully it'll get a little bit more accurate. But the models tend to have trouble when they see multiple things they haven't seen before at the same time. Hmm. So the ticket thing, they probably, could have figured out a little bit. The weather, certainly they've seen, weather before. But the combination of those two things together, probably not. The other thing I think, and I think this is true, I think Disney completely mischaracterized their ticket seasons in Disneyland this year. So basically for the last month, Disneyland has been much busier than average. Even though some of those days were peak days, some of those were value days, and a few were regular days. Yeah. They should have all been peak days if you look at the crowds.
Well, I'm going to ask my own listener question, and I know the answer to this because it's like right in spring break. How are crowds at Disneyland from March 27th through April 3rd?
Very crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, today I think we're already getting alerts saying that wait times are higher than average.
I'm going to stay in Palm Springs. Just not going to venture down.
Exactly. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was at 160 minutes. Space Mountain's continuously at 190 minutes right now.
Jeez.
But you're in Palm Springs? You're going to Palm Springs?
I'll be in Palm Springs at the end of the month for a film festival. So.
You're going to the Palm Springs International Film Festival?
No, not quite. Not quite as glorious. I'm going to the American Documentary Film Festival and Film Fund. So, I mean, not nothing. But we have
it's
a
not
movie.
Nothing. No. Have you been to Palm Springs before?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I love Palm Springs. Yeah. That's where we've talked about this.
Yeah. So I'll be there for about a week at the festival, and I have the kids with me. So we thought, are we going to go down to Disneyland? And we looked, it's like, oh, that's not a good time.
Plus, it's a 2-hour drive.
Right, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. 2 hours I can deal with, but the 180-minute wait.
The 2-hour drive is not the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
2-hour waits. That
well, better than the drive from L.A. half the time.
Well, look, just take them to Vegas. It's only 4 hours. Oh, It's like driving to Anaheim and waiting in one line.
Exactly. Brittany was in Orlando, so she'll be back. It'll be good. All right. Let's actually take some listener questions. All right. Ron Havens. This guy is in a bunch of our groups. So, Ron, hello. He said, which new things have started at WDW so far this year and those we know that are coming later this year are to attract more visitors and which are mainly for crowd control? That's an interesting comment. So are there anything that are made strictly to just spread the crowd out?
To spread the crowd out.
It's not necessarily a big attraction as much as it is. If you're here, you'll go to there, so you won't go to – I don't know what he's necessarily referring to.
I think Rivers of Light is definitely let's put people in a theater rather than lines. Let's get them out of – Let's get all the people coming to Pandora at night.
Yeah.
On the opposite far of this place they could possibly be from Pandora.
I think, yeah, and that's just good theme park strategy. That's a great example, actually. The other things I think that that you've seen, if the studios really does get rid of evening extra magic hours, that's sort of like a meta level crowd redirection thing. It's not within a park, but it's telling people to go from one park to another. Same thing with, you know, if depending on what Disney does for the rest of the year with an evening parade, you know, if they all start altering those schedules, not doing parades certain nights or whatever, that's pretty much an indication that they want people to go to Animal Kingdom.
Gotcha. All right, there are a lot of comments, fair warning, that are about Animal Kingdom and about Pandora, because I feel like all of a sudden it's the ad blitz. We've seen it everywhere. So this question came from Tim Camoso, who said, do we know yet if Pandora will cause Animal Kingdom to implement an AB FastPass system?
I would be shocked if they did not. In fact, we assumed that they would do that when we did the touring plans for it.
Well, there you go. All right. All right. Let's. Well, we're going to crank through some of these. All right. This is, I think, more of a maybe one of the one of the comments related to your other show, but we'll do it anyway. So Mike said, follow up on this or any more news on the possibility of replacing or updating Figment with a ride based on Inside Out and also Wreck-It Ralph replacing Stitch? Or is it just a rumor?
I haven't heard anything on Inside Out replacing Figment or anything.
I think that's just an idea.
Yeah, and I don't look for Disney to do any sort of major investment in Epcot, at least for the next couple of years. Yeah. Maybe by the 50th, but they've got enough on their plates.
How did Inside Out do as a whole as a film?
Oh, huge.
It was huge?
Yeah, it was massive, yeah.
Enough that they even put the characters in, which is sometimes not that, that regular.
Yeah. Not as easy to have that happen.
All right.
I think it would go well there. I think that's one of the instances where Disney could put IP in Epcot and it'd be fine.
Yeah. What about the Ralph thing? That's always come and gone the last year or so.
The rumor was that it was going to replace Stitch's Great Escape. The thing that they're waiting on now, the thing that I've heard is that the folks that are animating Ralph is it a 2018 release date for Wreck-It Ralph 2?
It's next May, I believe. Next March.
And when Disney approached them about doing something in the theme park, they looked over their shoulder and said, I'm trying to get this film finished for 2018. Right. Please bother me after that's done.
Gotcha. So it'll be a while. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
This is one that keeps coming in too. This is from Carrie. And Carrie and a bunch of other listeners have asked specifically about August not-so-scary dates. And will there be any, do you think, this year? And they all tend to believe that due to some crap, if you look at the schedule right now, a couple days late August,
it closes early. And it's happened.
Yeah.
I think Liberty is September 4th, right? It depends on how aggressive Disney wants to be with the calendar. Remember last year was the expansion to what, like 29 or 30 days, something insane. They could say that they're going to lose, the first date in September to Labor Day on the 4th. I think last year was a little bit later. But do one like on either August 31st, somewhere in there. I wouldn't say no to it. They've done it before. But I don't think it's a guarantee at this point. I would be a little surprised if they did.
Yeah.
Just because the, saying that you're celebrating Halloween in August.
I mean, Logan does that, but that's a weirdo. Right?
Yeah, September 1st, my decorations go up, but not August 29th. That's too far.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. There's a huge difference between saying you're starting on August 31st and saying you're starting in September 1st, from an optics perspective. Yeah. I would they do it? Yeah, because they've done it in the past. They've also run them on November 1st.
Right. Hey, Horror Nights is going now until November 5th, so.
It'll be Halloween at Chris McQuanzica.
Right, exactly.
I think that's going to be the one big holiday. That's fine.
When you look at those times, like when people call, a lot of questions always come about that. Hey, the crowd calendar or their calendar says it's closing early. Will it shift? Is that often that if you see it's closing unordinarily early, that you'll see time shift? And is there a reason for that?
A 7 o'clock close generally means that they're holding that space for an event. If it's a 6 o'clock close, that usually means there's a special event that a large corporation has sold the park or bought the park.
Got it.
Anything after 7:30, which is very unusual. I don't think Disney ever closes the Magic Kingdom on half hour increments anymore, it's very rare. 8 o'clock, those are standard times, and I generally expect every time to be extended out during a holiday. So like all the summer hours, I think they close at 9.
Yeah,
crazy. Even the Animal Kingdom. I mean, I think they had some some 7 p.m. closes in the late summer. That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, and see, I was looking at trying to plan some events for something I'm doing in Orlando and noticed, you know, like a 9 o'clock close time for that day. But if you look back, if you look back historically, it's typically been an 11 o'clock close time.
Right. Yeah.
I've even been in Magic Kingdom around that same time, the beginning of June, and had them extend just on the app. You'll notice that they're open an hour later. Like, nowhere do they announce it at the park. It just, the park extends an hour.
Yep.
All right. Well, hopefully that answered my own question, because I was always curious about that. All right. Let's head back to it. Bofudius Maximus.
Wow.
That's a name.
On Facebook. He said, how far in advance? Hopefully it's a stage name, but maybe not. If it is, good for you. If not, it's a bit you need to become a villain in professional wrestling. How far in advance do they release the reservations for the firework dessert parties at Hollywood Studios?
Oh, geez, another 90 or 100 days. I'll go with 90. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I don't really.
Have you heard anything, Lynn, and I'm just going to float it out there, about a second non-Star Wars evening show at Hollywood Studios?
I would be surprised. No, I haven't heard anything. I would be surprised if they did. They don't think they want people to be there in the evening.
We'll talk after.
Really? Interesting.
All right.
Special event?
I don't know. All right. I know just enough to whet your appetite. So
Logan knows just enough to be dangerous.
Yes, exactly. They don't have to tell me anything.
The thing I love is there are executives that are in charge of the studio saying, what could we possibly do to bring more people in here, especially at night? And then there's the executives at the Animal Kingdom saying, could you all please just stop doing things at night so people could come see our park when it's dark?
It's very mixed. All right. Ian said on Facebook, any special Animal Kingdom deals during Avatar Land's opening? I don't know if there's anything specific. Like, I guess he's talking about like booking deals. No, I mean, it's summertime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about discounts is Disney's about a couple weeks late in announcing some standard discounts.
The normal stuff.
So I think they're waiting to see what effect what effect the Avatar publicity has on future bookings. And I'm hearing, by the way, that that's a little soft.
Yeah.
They're not getting that the response or the in bookings that they had anticipated. We'll see.
Maybe why we're getting the ad blitz and blitz,
which is interesting because we actually on our live show that we do just for our supporters, we talked about just that I was in bed sick, and so I noticed that a lot of channel surfing, and there wasn't like a demo that they weren't hitting with those ads.
No, they were
like from like the cooking channel to like cartoon channels to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, home improvement channels to.
I was going to say, we were going to see it on This Old House.
I saw a commercial on the Velocity Network, which is, you know, the network that's like all the car shows or whatever. So
Velocity,
So, I mean, they've literally been running that. Like
Velocity's still on some cables. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on old AT&T.
There's a couple of interesting interactions with Disney Media Relations last week about Avatar, and this tells you why I don't get invited to media events. Did you read the food item description that they put on the website for, I think, Pongo Pongo?
I did not. I've seen some of the special sort of video things about it, but I've not seen it.
The food item, the food list says that they were going to offer bioluminescent drinks.
Right.
Indigenous beers. That's why I wrote to Disney. I said, you know, bioluminescent means that there's something alive and glowing in the drink. That's what it means. Right?
Bio is a key term.
And I said, you know, if you've actually done this, because I said I know you've got bioluminescent plants, both real and fake, and I know that there's you've got patents on bioluminescent and touch sensitive plants. If you've actually done a bioluminescent drink, I'd love to talk to somebody in Food and Bev about this, because I don't know how you're doing it. And I looked on the FDA website and I didn't see that you guys applied for any special sort of permits for this. So what's going on? And then I closed it by saying, look, if this is just somebody who is writing web copy and doesn't know what the word bioluminescent means, I'll take that as an answer too. And that's what came back. They're like, not really bioluminescent.
We're talking about a glow cube. It's going to be
interesting. And that's exactly what it is. But that didn't stop the Orlando Sentinel from running bioluminescent in their description of
They it love that word, man. It is on every Avatar thing, is the bioluminescent.
Killing. And they could do it, right? The problem is when they hype it like that so much, the some plants will be bioluminescent. I believe they will legitimately have living things that are bioluminescent in Pandora. But some of it's going to be fake.
Right.
So
right.
It'll be fake. Because, again, we've talked about this. You can't give tourists bioluminescent plants. They'll kill them. Right. And I think the problem that they run there is that it'll look like hype. And I think maybe it'd be better to undersell this a little bit. Also, indigenous beers, what does that mean? Is it actually...
No, that means... From,
like, the Na'vi created them on Pandora?
Yeah, no, I have to say, and all love to our friends Drunk at Disney, who he was I was listening to his podcast, he talked about that, and they kind of had a battle of, is this just slapping a label on something and being like, it's a beastly beer, you know?
It's like artisanal or craft, right?
Right, or is it just coming from the brewery? Even if it came from a local brewery, that's fine, but it's, you know, but if it is just like... you know, Banshee beer.
Yeah. And what would be different about it? The other thing that
Oh, someone please make us a Na'vi Light shirt.
We need to, that needs to be a shirt.
Oh my God.
Please make that.
Oh, we need a graphic designer to come up with a shirt for Na'vi Light.
Right now.
That's a good one. I will pat myself on the back and say, you know what, Na'vi Light, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Good joke.
For all the frat boy listeners, it'd be great.
The other thing that's interesting is, you guys recall, you guys have all seen Rivers of Light now, yes?
No.
Harry has seen Rivers of Light now.
Will and I have not.
The very beginning of Rivers of Light starts off by saying that Earth is the only planet with life. And I'm waiting for the insertion that says, except for that thing over there across the park.
Pandora, so. And that's even kind of debatable, but okay, whatever. You know. All right.
They found like
the water
bacterium and things.
Yeah. Mars had water. Remember there was that whole thing? Okay. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor this week, Away Travel. And if you want amazing luggage, you heard the stories from today, and you want to support us here at WDW today, go to awaytravel.com/WDW and use the promo code WDW20. That's 20, and get $20 off your first order. Thanks again to our Patreon supporters, and you can be a part of that and get an extra show every week live and then recorded. You can get on the podcast app. We teach you how to do it. You can be part of our Facebook group. And if you go for the $10 level, you even get to help us decide what the next shows are going to be in the Producers Club. That's at patreon.com/WDW today, or you can find both those links on our website. And that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Sekulow.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show.